live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM.
So, to the Elfiat.
Voice of the Millennials. With Yasin Kipi. Igniting the youth.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to the Voice of the Millennials with myself, Yasin Kipi. And it's quite, wonderful to see a progression in the Muslim community in whatever aspect it may be. And we have some brilliant news from out of Gauteng. There was, of course, a Eid Salah done in Johannesburg South, but in an area where there's traditionally not that much access for women to the masajid, especially on the day of Eid, they managed to, alhamdulillah, make access, and through various initiatives, various people who've been doing so for the past few years, I believe. There's some organizations behind that, and we're speaking to one of them, and that's Radia Manju on the line now with us. Radia, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
So, the Eid Salah, that's all I've been seeing. And I saw that on a page named Women of Waqf. I'm not sure if they're one of the organizers or you are part of them, but tell us about this great, wonderful news that's come out of Johannesburg.
Shukran for having us on the show first. So basically what happened was we noticed that there was a need for, in the Johannesburg South there is a really big Eid Salah that does happen. And Shamila, my friend and I, we would attend the Eid Salah, but we wouldn't be able to attend it where we stay. So basically when we delved more into it and found out more about the Eid Salah and like the point of it, and we realized that the point of the Eid Salah is to be amongst people in your community, so it doesn't make sense for you to travel far to attend an Eid Salah. You should be attending an Eid Salah where you are. Mm-hmm. So that's a niche in Johannesburg South, so we took it upon ourselves to make it available for women who do, for not just women, anyone, for families who do want to attend. And alhamdulillah, we've been doing it for a while and it goes well, alhamdulillah. So yeah, that's about it.
And you are part of Women of Waqf, is that correct?
So Shamila is one of the founders of Women of Waqf, but we did start our Salah. It dates back for a few, I think about 3 or 4 years, so it was before it, but I know they support us.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's quite interesting. Because, I don't know, I might be ignorant here. The perception of us Cape Townians is that, there's real challenges in Johannesburg when it comes to access for women. Especially, I believe it last year, Ramadan, there was some challenges, especially for some women to perform Tarawih at the masjid. Tell us about some of the history. Is that a correct perception or not so?
So I think there's a very strong Muslim presence in Johannesburg in general, and in Johannesburg South especially, there are a lot of Muslims, but I think that it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's a new wave or something, it's just that women now want access which no one asked for before. So it wasn't necessarily something which anyone would challenge, we just accepted. And like I said, so now when women do, now it's a different phase where we just say, can we have a space or is it available, or we kind of request it. And so I think it's just been a bit of a new era sort of thing, but it is a bit challenging sometimes, but we try, and I think that it's the beginning. So alhamdulillah, you start something and then you go from there. That's all you can do.
So in other words, are you saying Cape Town is the ideal? I'm just joking. I don't know, because I believe you lived, you did stay in Cape Town for a while, didn't you?
I did, and I draw the parallel, and I say, for example, when I wanted to go for Tarawih when we were there a few years ago, we were staying in Bukhab, and literally I would say I had a choice where I could attend a different masjid masjid every day, and it was within 5 kilometers. Alhamdulillah, like, that's one of the most amazing things. And before then, I would never have been able to attend Taraweeh within, even though there were masjids, like a good few within 5 kilometers of my home, I would have to travel maybe 20 kilometers out of where, from where I stay, if I wanted to go to a masjid where I would be allowed into. So, but like I said, we'll get there. So, but I'm grateful, like, and I must say, we're grateful for, one thing it's taught us is that when you do have access and stuff, it's something that you're grateful for. And I think that it's a big thing to focus on what we do have, and we, it's not accessible, you try what you can, and Yeah, that's what you can do, basically.
Yeah, I believe, of course. Now, yeah. When it comes to the support of the wider community, including women and men, and particularly the ulama, you know, is there support from the ulama in Johannesburg for, you know, these initiatives that you've been running?
It's a bit of a, I wouldn't say contentious, but like I said, so before the South, I think that everyone was just comfortable in the way that it had been done all along. So when you say something like, for example, if you say for the Eid Salah, you say, actually women want to attend, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take his wives, his own wives, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed that everyone comes out, even the women who are menstruating, even the women in seclusion, because it was never presented as a, as being taught, like, for example, when they speak of the Eid Salah, they'll go through all the sunnahs, but they'll never mention those sunnahs, which is just like a convenient omission, I guess. And so I think that we've just grown comfortable in what we know, and we become complacent and accept it as what it should be. So I think that it's not so much that they just support it, it's just that they're comfortable as... what's the omission of it, if that's not contentious to say. But I try to focus on what we do have, and we have been, many people have supported us. I'd like to just give a shout out to, like, one of the sheikhs, Sheikh Ismail Muhammad, like, he's really, really helped us, and there have been people who've stepped up and joined us and supported us, and, like, Allah is the best of planners, so you will, I always say to Shamila, like, if it was something which it wasn't good, or something where our intentions were bad or evil or something, I don't think Allah would help us in it. But alhamdulillah, we've had so much help in it, and from places we'd never expected, and we're so grateful for that. So, alhamdulillah for the good.
Well, that's brilliant news. that's really good. So, just lastly, are there any more challenges that you hope to tackle in the near future? Are you planning anything particularly, or are you going to work with any organizations to make more progress?
So what we try to do is every year we try to build it a bit more, and I think, like, the biggest thing is information, which I think is a huge thing, and I don't blame people for nothing. Like, a lot of the times I feel that, like I said, it's an omission, it's rather than a miseducation. It's not that people are taught the wrong thing, it's just that they're not informed of the other, like, some things. So I think, like, a big thing is education, and what we can do, we do. Like, I feel your biggest point you can do is yourself. Like, you have to change yourself and try to push the message as much as you can. So we do sit and we try to think, okay, how can we grow this? How can we improve everything? And that's our biggest plan for now. And it just brings me to mind something that I heard someone say. If I was one of the his name escapes me at the moment, but someone asked him about how is it that you can change something so big when, you know, you're just a single person, and he said you start with your circles of influence, and I think that's a big thing. So within our circles, you start there, and then it grows from there and everything. And I think that, this is just my personal opinion, I just feel that often Islam just by the way that it's progressed and the way that it's happened, it's no one's at fault for it, but we see the discrepancy and you try to act on it, is that it's very much from a male narrative. And I say this really often, like, it's always presented from the male side and it's very much centric according to the male. So I just feel that more women need to be encouraged to pursue Islamic studies, to educate themselves, to learn for themselves and to engage with it. And I think that's the future, inshallah. And I encourage it and I hope for it and I make dua for it. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really great. At the same time, of course, there are people who may be a bit reluctant to agree completely with everything you may say, especially,
yeah,
especially
for sure,
when it comes to some of the, when you use the word progress, oftentimes people may mean to become more liberal, and at the end of the day, the more liberal, more free you are, it always ends up hurting someone. What is the, do you mean by progress, becoming more Islamic or becoming more liberal? Just as my final question, I have to ask that.
No, so I don't feel that, well, this is something I always say, like, you know, you get a lot of liberal stances and you get a lot of people who stand for progression and stuff. But I think that Islam, as it is, like, as it was presented to us, as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam presented it and practiced it, was perfect. And I always say, like, it's so ironic that people think that women wanting to be in spaces or included or part of things Islamically is liberal or it's something new when it's not. I feel like the innovation is leaving women out, you know. So I wish that we would resort more to the original. So yeah, I'm not for crazy new things. Like, we just love the sunnah. I think that's a big thing. A lot of the time people will say, like, when we speak about Isra, they're like, stay at home, a woman shouldn't be there. And I say, and my reply is always like, we're not forcing anyone to come. We're just giving the people who like the sunnah the space to practice the sunnah. And that's literally our intention. Our intention is that people who want to fulfill that sunnah, who want to attend the Eid Salah, here's a space where you can. And we all our charges on our intention accordingly. And that's all that it is. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, adding to that, the last thing is, do you have any contact details for people perhaps to get in contact with you or support your initiatives, an email perhaps?
Oh, actually, we don't have an email, but
okay,
we do have a Facebook page.
Oh, you do have a Facebook page.
That people can check out. I think it's up and running. It's Johannesburg South, so JHB Eid Musalla. And yeah, that's it. But if ever, like, people can always contact Shamla or I, and yeah, we'll be happy to talk to you about it. And inshallah, may Allah bless us in it and guide us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. And thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Radia. That being Radia Manju, of course, one of the people behind getting more access for women on the Eid Salah in Johannesburg South. Good news out of Gauteng, and alhamdulillah for that. We'll take a break now. When we come back, we'll be talking to Nadir Abrams, who's offering free tuition in the Mitchell's Plain Westridge Library just after this.
The Voice of the Cape,